Now, our first reading comes from 1 Kings, where the Lord appeared to Solomon, and this is what he said.
The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple, which you have built, by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, O Israel, forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship him, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for thy name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt, and have embraced their gods, worshipping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. Second reading is from the book of Luke, verses 26 to 36. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greetings this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
Now, we sometimes find ourselves in the habit of looking back and at things and think that it was better back in the day. Perhaps this time of year we look back and feel that Christmas is not what it used to be. It was better back then. Today we are too commercialized. Or we remember perhaps at Christmas time we used to meet in a wider family circle, getting together sometimes covering 3 to 4 generations. Those were the days. We paint in our minds a picture of golden days. We feel that now or the time ahead does not really hold out much hope for us because the golden days have passed. Many constitutional changes in this country have taken place over the last 40 years. The House of Lords has undergone extensive reform. Hereditary peerages have mostly disappeared. We also have a very much slimmed down version of the royal family. Many of the perks and spending that are classed under the general title of grace and favor handouts have now disappeared. Many of the lesser known royals have to make a living for themselves. And certainly the next generation of lesser royals will be integrated into ordinary society. The royal family went through a period of unpopularity, and part of the response was to reduce the number of public roles that the lesser royals were occupying. In the Times yesterday it said that the Queen's speech that will be broadcast today at 3 p.m, that there are fewer photographs in the background, family photographs in the background, than there were last year. They say that Harry and Meghan are said to be missing. We're living in changing times, times when the taxpayer, or at least the newspapers tell us, that the taxpayers are quite concerned about where our tax pounds are being spent. Perhaps the lesser royals will turn their attention to the descendants of the royal families from the European continent to see how they have managed, because for many generations, all of them have lost their privileges. Visiting Vienna last summer and looking at the opulence of the palaces and learning something of the wealth of the Habsburg family, and see how their wealth, their land, has been confiscated by the state. The current head of the Habsburg family had to renounce all claims to property and royalty before he was allowed back into Austria, and he now serves as a politician. But going back about 2,000 years ago to the land of Israel, there was a young lady called Mary, a lesser royal, who had lost all the privileges of the royal family. In former generations, her family had enjoyed all that comes from the position and the wealth of royalty. Probably the richest royal family that ever existed. But through various wars and defeats, that family had been deported and for a number of generations had lived in exile. But back they came to the land of Israel, but now to a much more humble existence. In Mary's time, the country was again under enemy occupation, and any thoughts of the former royal grandeur was no more than the topic of conversation at the dinner table. But never mind, thought Mary. She had her own little royal occasion to look forward to. She was engaged to her and to be married to her sweetheart Joseph. He had his own business, you know. And while they would never know anything like the splendor of the glory days of King David and King Solomon, Joseph would be able to provide for them both. And if God was gracious to them and give them children to bless their marriage, Joseph would be able to provide for his children as well. There was much to be done. Wedding dress, reception, bridesmaids, flowers. But one day in the middle of it all, Mary received a special visitor. This is what the visitor said. "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, to call this visitor a special visitor is to grossly understate his credentials, because this was no ordinary visitor. This was the angel of the Lord. Now, Mary was put out a little by this, in a way that you can imagine if an angel just appeared to you and with this strange kind of greeting, if that in itself is not too much of an understatement. But the angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How is this going to happen? Mary wants to know. Do you not think there's the small matter of a husband missing? "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her own old age. She who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary then packed her bags. She kissed Joseph goodbye, and off she went as quickly as she could to see Elizabeth. She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months until Elizabeth's baby was born, and then comes back to Nazareth and to her Joseph, the man that she was engaged to, that she was going to marry. She's going to break the wonderful news to Joseph. "Oh, Joseph, I'm going to have a baby. Isn't it just wonderful?" Really? Mary has been away for 3 months. What is Joseph to think? Who is the father? Who has she been sleeping with? He had never for one moment thought that his Mary could have been unfaithful like this. Pretty hard for a man to take in Mary's story about an angel and the Holy Spirit. But he loved her, still loved her. He was a good man. And he wasn't going to publicly disgrace Mary, but he was going to break off the engagement in a quiet way. But then the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The Blessed Virgin Mary, as she has come to be known, was the mother of Christ as man. Christ as God had no mother. Christ as man had no father. Mary's family line, the royal line, back to the royal family, that wealthy family, probably the most wealthy family in all of history. Mary's family line could be traced back to David, to Solomon, and even right back to Abraham. And as God incarnate, Jesus came into this family of Abraham. Christ fulfilled the promise that was made to Abraham many centuries before this, when God called Abraham to leave his family home and go to the land of Canaan. God gave him this promise: "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." We are blessed this morning through the family of Abraham, because through the family of Abraham, down to King David, down to King Solomon, down to Mary, came the Lord Jesus Christ. Through you, through your family, all people of the earth will be blessed. I haven't actually counted the number of nationalities that we have in this congregation. It's quite an unusual congregation that we have so many people from all over the world. And it's great that we can come and be one in Jesus Christ and worship our Lord. It shows us that the promise has been fulfilled. All peoples Indian, African, Macedonia, Iran, many, oh, Pakistan,
Syria,
Palestine, Ireland, of course, of course, England, where's that? Oh, that's here. All peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And he's blessed even the Irish. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Going back even further in time than that to the very beginning of humanity, God had made people in his own image and had given the very first couple, Adam and Eve, a beautiful place to live and work. Adam and Eve enjoyed a wonderful relationship with God. But Adam and Eve cheated on that relationship with God. And as a result, that relationship with God was spoiled. The consequences of that spoiled relationship has had far-reaching effects right down to this generation, right down to today in Hounslow. The misery and sadness and hardness of sin steals our lives away from us. But God set in place a plan of recovery. He put a plan of recovery into operation by promising a Savior, by promising His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. From round about the very beginning of time, the beginning of humanity, God let humanity know that Jesus Christ would come. And this day, Christmas Day, we remember the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Bethlehem was not the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was with the Father and the Holy Spirit from eternity past. He had no beginning. He will have no end. But as humanity, he came into the world on that very first Christmas, coming to Bethlehem. So family by family, generation by generation, God started to plan and protect and raise up the family line through which the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Like a thread running through the history of the ages, plotting the circumstances, controlling the affairs of this world for that time when a Savior would be born of a virgin girl. Her name was Mary. That day that Mary was born, the last pieces of the jigsaw were in place. The very fine detail of Roman occupation was in place. Way off, far away from Bethlehem, in the city of Rome, Caesar Augustus had ruled by now for about 25 to 30 years. He was a very clever ruler, and he had great military strength. He had put an end to many of the civil wars that had raged the world, that had troubled the Roman Empire. They were living in a time of unprecedented peace. But with the plundering of the riches of defeated nations at an end, his bank account was very low. Somebody had the bright idea. Let's take an empire-wide census so that all of our citizens then could be taxed so that we can get more money into our bank account. Of course, Caesar's court had no idea of the events taking place in Nazareth. But by the time that the decree reached Nazareth, that the people should go to their family town to register their details, Joseph and Mary had been married, and Mary was almost full term with her special baby. Joseph put together a few things and put Mary, his wife, upon the donkey to set out to make their way to Bethlehem. We're not told in the Bible about the details of the journey, but this pretty ordinary little family made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem And perhaps because of Mary's condition, they were very late arriving in Bethlehem. All the hotels, all the inns, all the motels were full. And all that was available was a stable. It would make a good story for a feature writer. Descendants of royal family arrive in Roman-occupied Bethlehem. Royal mother gives birth in a cattle shed. Jesus, her son, is born. The royal city of Bethlehem knows nothing about his birth. The nation goes about its business. Caesar's court has other problems to worry about. The city, the nation, the empire is blissfully unaware of the significance of the event that has taken place in Bethlehem. The Son of God has come to earth. Meanwhile, in heaven, this has not gone unnoticed. The angels who for generations have been watching God in great anticipation, they can no longer contain their joy. They come teeming and tumbling out of heaven, ascending and descending from heaven to earth, singing for joy. The promise of God is being acted out at this moment in time upon the earth. They had watched how God steered the events through the course of history to bring about this very moment. They've got to tell the people. I can just see them looking over the windows of heaven down upon earth and say, it's time to go. Come on, angels. And down they go to earth, back from earth to heaven, so excited, singing in celebration. It would be shocking enough to see an angel, but to see an excited angel, that sure is a wake-up call. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were terrified. I don't blame them. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now, sometimes I wish that as a congregation we could sing better. But no matter how good we get, it'll not match the angels singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. All of you who know Jesus Christ as Savior, one day you will join with the angels singing the praises of God around the throne. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This baby that did not so much as stir the slumber of Bethlehem did not so much attract the attention of the nation or the empire. On the night of his birth, has commissioned the host of heaven to sing his praise and announce the glory of the Lord to the whole world. This baby will go on to rock the world. He is the answer to the need of humanity's heart. He will bring peace to people from a God who has been angry with sin. He is the fulfillment of all that is past, and he will shape everything that is yet future. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's yes to every promise that he has made in the scriptures. There has not been a more significant birth than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that line of descent had been preserved by God. He has come as the child of a promise. A promise that has been repeated throughout the course of history. And now begins a 33-year pilgrimage that will take the Son of God, our Savior, to the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ has come to call a people out of this world. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is working in many lives, reaching out to win his people and gather them into his church. At times, we become perplexed about what is going on in our lives. But as God has controlled the events through the ages to shape the circumstances of the coming of Christ into the world, so God today is controlling the events. He is shaping events in the life of the church to hasten the day of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's project is to build a church, a beautiful bride for his son, a temple that he might inhabit. And in the day to come, he will gather his people from the four corners of the earth. We will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west to become a glorious temple, a place for God to dwell. And then will be fulfilled and consummated that promise, that covenant promise, I will be your God and you will be my people. The course of our lives, the building of the church, flows towards that great and glorious day. God is preparing a people for that day, and we in Hounslow are part of that great plan. As God shaped the Roman Empire, as God put it into the heart of someone to decide to take a census, as God brought Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, as God sent his son into the world, as he began that 33-year mission that ended at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is at the very center of history, where Christ died upon the cross. Why did he come to die? You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. It wasn't a last minute idea. From before the foundation of the world was put in place, God had decided that he would send his son that he might hang upon the cross. What was he doing on the cross? God, who knew our sin, took that sin and laid it upon him. And Christ has suffered, has appeased the anger of God and the love of God, sending his son to die for us, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be part of the church of Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill that plan to build a temple, to provide a bride. He is the vine, we are the branches. God is preparing a people for that day to come. There were days in the Old Testament when it didn't look like the nation would survive to bring forth a Savior. There are days in New Testament times, right up until today, when it didn't look like the church would ever amount to much. Whatever the conditions around us, God calls us to be faithful in our worship, in our witness. Jesus did come in answer to the promises that God had made. And Jesus will come back again in answer to the promises that God has made. This will surely happen. Let us hasten that day of his coming through our loyalty to him and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be the prayer of our hearts. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus.